are here on a Sunday that we have called Set Out Sunday. Coming together in November last year, we did what we called Vision Sunday, a moment where we lift our eyes and say, God, what are you saying to all those generations? You can probably see your number there, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and beyond, you know, beyond. Some are saying, is there anything beyond the 80s? It was so great. But there is. And there's a newness coming in what God wants to do in the years ahead. Maybe you remember it by your church years. Maybe you remember it by your before Christ years. Whatever it is, God is wanting to do something in this season that we know is ancient and as fresh as the day it was spoken. God's like the forever truth. He is the one who gives us depth and knowledge that is of an eternal realm. So to set out in what we're calling a new era is for us to firstly look at the reality of what God has always been doing, and then bring it through to what has he always been saying to his church, and then how in this day and age, in this reality, in your life and in your lifetime, will this be walked out? I don't know about you, but I feel that the church, as much as the world, is looking for a simpler, deeper reality of what is going on. So many answers, so many options, and yet very little truth. As one pastor in America, C.J. Owen, once said, he said, we are drowning in information and starving for wisdom. It was written well before this time. But we started to look at these three things that are always. That we are loved by God. And because we are loved by God, then we have the opportunity to live in the light. No longer in darkness, no longer in confusion, no longer in disparity, oppression, depression, slavery, any of those things, but in the light. And because we live in the light, we get to love like Jesus. Jesus being referred to as the light. You would be very familiar with scriptures such as, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. A huge, sweeping statement that can be read so simply and missed so powerfully. But deeply, if that gets into our lives, if you are loved by God, then what other form of love is ever going to compare to what Jesus has done? For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, but in order that the world might be saved through him. He wasn't looking to tell everybody what they'd done wrong. He was looking for them to experience his love, knowing the love of the Father himself and how it will save us, transform us, and deliver us. I was having an interesting conversation, you probably got first week of school, on the drive home. I don't know what sort of conversations come up in your cars, but I had a conversation with one of my family members who I cannot mention and give you any details about because I'm not allowed to talk about them, but one of those family members said, Dad, I think you can buy love. Obviously, I'd listened to songs and heard them on the radio. You might be able to buy love. And I said, in what context? Give me a context. And he says, well, people buy dogs so that they love them when people won't. And I thought, now, I didn't say this, right? Okay. But this is what the theology that was coming out. And he had a question. So maybe you can buy love. And I said, you can pay a lot of money and it can be a very high price to own something, but it doesn't guarantee it will love you. You know? We've seen pets, you know, when they're destroying your backyard, they've eaten your shoes. Are they displaying love to you? Oh, I love when they do that. Of course the Father, of course Christ looks at us in a way that says, I have done everything. I have purchased you with a price. I have poured out my love for you. But that doesn't guarantee unconditional love, does it? We know that. Because if it did, then at the moment of me saying this, people would be running forward, crying out and say, Beanie, get back in the band. Let's start the song. I need to declare my undying love for God. Instead, we consider, what are my conditions? God unconditionally paid a price. Isn't it interesting that the things we value have a high price? And we need to know that God's Son giving His life as a picture of love was at a very high and expensive cost, even though it was a free gift. Can I post to you that in the next generation, we need to reacquaint ourselves with the price? Because if you go to Marion, you won't value anything that doesn't have a high price, will you, shoppers? Even if you can't afford it, you might look at it and you say, that is a very high price. If someone was to give it to you, you'd be like, what's wrong with it? In the world, maybe even in the church, there's a sense that things that are free are cheap. But I want to tell you, the free gift that we have received by the love of God is incredibly expensive and priceless and eternal. And when we value that in a different way, it starts to impact our lives. And I'm like, the label over my life is not, you know, this, that, the other, measure ups, this, that, the other, that my community, my business, my world has dictated to me. It is loved by God. That is what should be defining our lives. And as it starts to move our vision, we understand these things in a new way. When we are loved by God, we are motivated differently. Motivation comes. When we begin to live in the light, think about this phrase. If anyone would come after me, Jesus said, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. For Jesus and the power of the message will save it. Now, I'm using these truths because for most Christians and most people who've been in church a few years, these would be declared simple, wouldn't they? Simple truths, simple phrases. But somehow the emphasis and the power has diminished. Yet the power of God to resurrect what He wants to do through this is incredible. If anyone come after me, let him deny himself. That's not deny the things that are bad that they would want to do. That's deny the very heart that produces them. That's close, isn't it? Jesus didn't come to love you and save you from the things you've done. He came to save you and I from ourselves. From our very selves. Oh, it was sin that corrupted me. It was you who engaged the sin that corrupted you. One of the things that might be different in the next era that we've got to pray for and trust is that the church becomes honest, takes responsibility for the things that are so precious and lives out the reality that Jesus intended. Living in the light is about living an honest life before God, knowing who He is, who we cannot be without Him, and desiring Him to walk us through it. So that as His household towards one another, in the way that we love, we are no longer acting or thinking like slaves, but people who are free. Free to love, free to engage, free to respond in a way that is God's normal, the new normal. The word spoken and written to us is a guiding light. The Holy Spirit is like a compass. Here is home. And takes us in that way. My last sort of simple little truth we're going to share, and then we're going to get into the depth of how this applies. But loving like Jesus, let me tell you, it only comes by the power of Jesus. So if we talk about how God loves and what it looks like to walk in light, and then I don't tell you that you are also receiving the Holy Spirit and the empowerment to do it, then you might walk out of this room trying to do it yourself. But God in His wisdom said to His disciples, it is not for you to know the times and the seasons that the Father has fixed by His own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. What a promise. But what was He saying? Jesus is saying, I know you want to know all the information, but what I want to do is give you the power. We think information is power, friends. And Jesus says, don't worry about the times or the dates. That's trusting God moment. Trust in Him. Trust in what he's going to do. Trust in his plans for your life. Put your trust in him. However, I'm going to give you the power, the enabling power, to walk through this because I want you to be my witnesses so that everything you walk through is preaching to people around you. Isn't this stunning? So why then, friends, as we look at this and God's heart is to think about the harvest field, not just the person? Because the first thing is, for God so loved the world, that's for an individual, isn't it? It's like, wow, that comes to me. And then living in the light is actually about others in our household, the household of faith. But the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon us is actually not just for a personal moment, it's actually for it to be a witness to everyone. And as we start thinking about grand openings and where we're going to be pitching this, we're going to start with those who would come in saying, we want to be witnesses to the goodness and the greatness of God, who live in the light, who are loved by God. But people who engage this community in any day of the week should be feeling, firstly, these guys are a witness to the goodness and greatness of God. Now, I want to know, how do they live in this? They live in the light, not darkness. But how would they live and why would they live in that? Because they're loved by God. So why don't people do this all the time, Ben? When I'm preparing, I'm like, when I start hearing this truth, I'm like, why would people not live in this then? Why would they not draw to it? Why would they just not immediately grab hold of it? Because people would rather be captive to things that they know rather than be captivated by Jesus, who they don't. Let that ring true, friends. They would rather be captive to things they know than captivated by Jesus that they don't, or they would have to get to know. We trust the thing that we don't know, we do know, rather than the thing we don't. Can I put to you this morning that to be captivated by Christ could be one of the most important things that we could turn our heart and our lives over to, so that we are not captivated or captive to other things. This is what the Word of God says in Romans chapter 11. This stunning verse comes out. Oh, the depth of the riches of wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are your judgments and how inscrutable are your ways. That is a huge declaration. And Paul down further then says, for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever and ever. There is not a more ultimate scripture in the Bible that describes what we have received. And if we want to walk in all things, receive all things God has for us, that it is on the turning to him who has all knowledge, all wisdom, whose ways are inscrutable, unable to be questioned. I put that stars behind the cross picture up. I thought it was a stunning picture. An empty cross and an open expanse of all God might do. Think about Abraham looking up at the stars and hearing the covenant of God made to him that your descendants will fill the earth as the stars fill the sky. Sometimes we live with a captive mindset rather than being captivated by Christ and everything opening up. All things from him and through him and to him. All things. My whole life sits inside what you want to do. I want to become captivated. Maybe tonight you need to, as the sky is clear, look up and feel that you are in the reality of this expanse rather than thinking this is the end of it. Ben, what has this got to do with setting out? A lot. Because if you in heart and I in heart do not understand that we are friends of God because of the way he's loved us, disciples of Jesus, who are willing to deny ourselves, take up the cross, even unto death, as he did, for his cause, and walk as witnesses of the Holy Spirit, then we're not going to experience the fullness of what God expected for us as those who walk as his family. This is the full offer. And that's what God wants to do with us. But Ben, how can I be confident of this? How can I be sure that this is going to happen? I don't like stepping into things unless I know I can be confident. Thankfully, Scripture again gives you confidence. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing, and so that we can teach and admonish one another in all wisdom and singing of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God through Him. Everything through Him. Everything working through us through Him. And God will give us the confidence to walk unwaveringly in His presence, in His pursuit, confident in Christ. I believe this is what God's bringing to His church. This may be beyond coastlands. I'm suspicious. Now, He might want to captivate His church and be their only pursuit. He might want to give them a confidence that they've been intimidated to walk in, that they've struggled to walk in because of captivities, things they've been captive to. So as we this morning set out in faith, we know that we've been shaped by the gospel. This was not something of our own making. The gospel of Jesus Christ has shaped us. It has sent us out as ambassadors and representatives of itself. And so anything we do is actually going to minister Jesus to people. Love like Jesus. Because of what's transformed your life in the light of His word. There'll be someone in the room who is saying, but why would I want to be captivated by Christ? Why would I even want to be confident in Christ? This is what the word says. Because you will experience complete joy. Complete joy of Christ. Scripture says that which we have seen and heard, this is John talking to the church, that which we have seen and we have heard and we proclaim to you also, so that you may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son Jesus Christ, and we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Do you see what John's doing? Is he's saying, I'm a witness to you of this happening. They're experiencing the witness, the message, the power, the life given, the reality of what he's living in by his testimony. The witnesses of Christ enjoy complete joy in Christ. This does not promise happiness, okay? Complete joy is often in all sorts of ways. When Paul is talking to the Philippian church, he says, count it all joy, brothers, when you go through all sorts of suffering. Because your testimony is pouring out to everyone around you about who you rely on. That you walk in the light, you walk in His way, and you are loved by God. All right, you got that. In a new era, to be captivated by Christ will be in trend again, because it will leave us away from the captivities that get us and make us ineffective. There is confidence in Christ for each one of you, that as His word says, that He will deliver us, and therefore we can have confidence in Him to do that. Thirdly, what is the big ending of this? Complete joy in Christ. Christ will be standing in eternity receiving all the glory, but we get to stand with Him and know that His complete joy that He has made known to us during our lives is now fully known as we stand before Him. I had the picture as I was preparing of a little seed of faith being planted in good soil today. Someone turning over the soil of their heart and saying, actually, I'll give you my heart, God, and it growing into a strong and thriving oak tree. Little seed and growing into an oak tree. And for the joy set before them, that it would, in its branches it would house things, in its shade it would cover things, in its leaves it would provide for things. That it's the little seed that gets planted in your heart today that you respond to and let it be in good soil that actually grows into a strong and powerful, usable response that actually looks like complete joy. Sometimes we think happiness is flimsy, or joy is flimsy. It's something I feel momentarily. No, no, no. That is the picture of joy. A flourishing, full, well-grown, tested, and now helpful oak tree. So as we move into the next season, what is this? How does this outwork? What does it look like to be those who are sent out by faith, or setting out by faith, saved by this gospel, and sent out as witnesses? All right, as a church, we know this. What we have seen over the last 10 to 20 years is that the difference between Jesus building his church and man building empires is very different. Attractional church will draw a crowd. We can fill a room, but it's not impressive to God. Let me tell you what grows churches in a godly way around Jesus is intentional builds of his community. Attractional, light, sound, cameras, action, all the stuff we've got here, if that becomes the focus, we've got a problem. Because we want people to be captivated by Christ, right? We want them to be confident in Christ. We want them to be joy-filled in Christ. So the future has to be intentional. Luckily, we have a whole Bible that is scripturally absolutely perfect on building church. And it talks about Jesus being at the center of our own lives and everyone else's. So we've settled that. What we know, Jesus builds his kingdom. He does it intentionally. He does it with a multi-generational family. He does it with everyone in, everybody involved. He does it, he goes as fast as the slowest person. And he wants everybody here. And he keeps in check the fastest person. And he pulls them back and says, now look at your family. He's taught us about who we are, that we're those who serve God, not ourselves. He's taught us about we want to reach those who are lost. Not just lost from God, but maybe lost from church, disillusioned, misunderstanding, all of those sort of things because of all the other things that have happened. He's taught us what is meaningful, that the gospel is to reveal Jesus, and the church is of King Jesus, and the mission of God is for us to engage. You might have to re-listen to some of this stuff, so that's why I'm moving through it quite quickly. But as the family of God, the household of faith, with a harvest field in front of us, we are expanding practically and spiritually to provide more space for what God wants to do through his word and through his ways when we worship him. Adventure in God will move us from seeking our own comfort to living in his courage, in his message and his mandate. When God says to people like Moses, you know, be courageous, move out, he doesn't tell them what they're going to face. He just tells them where they're going. We think if you tell us everything, we'll be comfortable. If he tells us everything, we won't even move. He says, be courageous, be empowered, walk in what I'm going to call you to. Captivated by Christ, we'll be drawn to his attention, holding his gaze, enthralled by his presence, and willing to submit to his loving plan for our lives and our community, and we'll follow his every move. When you're captivated by someone, you watch everything they do and you follow them. In the verse I read before where Jesus says to his disciples, lay down your life and follow me. One verse before that, Peter is questioning the plan. Jesus has said, I'm going to lay down my life. I am going to go to the cross. I am going to do this. And Peter's like, pulls him aside and rebukes Jesus and said, this is a bad plan. I don't like this plan for me. I think it would be great if you stayed around. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. Your mind is not on the things of God, but on the things of man. Thankfully, in Corinthians, when Paul writes to us, Colossians 3:2, he says, set your minds on things above, not on things that are on the earth. He knows we're like Peter. We've got a better plan that involves us doing something a little bit more comfortable and not so horrendous. And yet, Jesus wants wholeheartedness. And so he says to us, set your minds on things. As we set out today, firstly, get this thing captivating or taking captive the thoughts. You are empowered as a believer to take captive things. Where before things took you captive, now you can take them captive. I can take captive my thoughts, my fears, my worries, my concerns, and I can say, put that aside. Now I'm going to take captive the thoughts of God. Set your minds on things above. As a church captivated by Christ, and our hearts now in working with this high price understanding of the value of what he's done and enamored, we can possess, we can spread, we can steward, we can multiply. As believers, as his disciples, and as his witnesses, the whole package. This love of God has simplified things in our heart. It mobilizes us. So we begin to be mobilized, not just motivated, but mobilized by what he's said to us. Live in the light, be mobilized. It's warm in the light. The muscles get loose. Who has ever been to Queensland in the middle of winter and you feel like you've lost 10 years, you know? Everything becomes flexible. You're able to do things because you're living in the light. That's not a promotion for Queensland. Mobilization means that you've become, instead of being immobilized, you've mobilized. In the light, I can see, I can know, I can walk. Operationalize, fantastic word, is like army. It's where we move out from this place, the family gathering. But then the operationalization of the reality of what God wants to do. It says wide welcoming family gathering. Wide welcoming. People need to be put in families, lonely in families. Governments are throwing millions of dollars at loneliness. And the answer sits here. Communities of faith with no other intention but to worship Jesus and see people to come into that same reality. Not plans of their own, not plans for them, just that they would come to Jesus and know the love of God, that they can live in the light and they can walk as witnesses of his goodness and his kindness. The wide gospel welcome comes out from us as a people. The warmth of gospel formation. God's formed this, not something else. The activation of God with gospel challenge. When we walk through things as disciples, we hit challenges. We look different because we are different. And the ways of the gospel mature. We're always looking out for others rather than ourselves. That'll change your workplace. That'll change your family. I'm just looking out for myself. A church confident in Christ. We'll come together often, like we're doing today, knowing that our confidence is him, reminding one another of that. But we need to be activated. We need to be walking in these things in the future and the fullness of what he's saying.